865, we out here. Talk sports. John Reed, Cody McClure, Fox Sports Knoxville. Eh.
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
John Reed, give you what you asked for. We got Cody on the MIC, RIP to Reggie White, Fox Sports Knoxville, booming through the satellite. AM, PM on your lunch break. Talk sports through a hurricane or an earthquake. It's the 865 till the death of us. Tune in to Talk Sports like the rest of us. Talk sports. Talk sports, ay. Talk sports, give you what you ask for. Talk
Hour
sports,
three man. Kicking off in the Talk Fan Run sports. Studios. This batch of headlines brought to you by our friends at Waste Connections of Tennessee. Make the switch. Make the switch. Trust them with your waste removal. They've been doing it in Knoxville and the surrounding area since 2002 as the area's safest waste removal company. Use the promo code FANRUN when you make the call. 865, that's the area code. 522-8161. Promo code FANRUN, one word. To make the switch, I trust them with my trash and recycling. You should do the same. Hour 3 headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. A research team from Bloomberg has a new study out. And the new study suggests that in sports, we are entering the age of the fluid fandom.
Where, I had this to talk about. I'm glad you found this.
Yeah.
Where, I had to talk about yesterday, but we talked a lot about Tennessee, so we didn't get to it.
Yeah. Apparently, allegiances and attention are kind of shifting more rapidly than they used to.
Let's save that for next segment. I want to talk a little bit more about that before this or that.
Fantastic.
Good job by you on tracking down that headline.
Sounds
I had it on my notes.
Good.
I had it on my bookmarks.
All right. Nick Saban was asked about staff turnover at Alabama. You know, he had to hire a lot of new coaches this
year. Yeah, for sure.
Apparently, they asked Saban yesterday if he thinks he's difficult to work for. He said, I don't know. You'd have to ask some of the people that worked for me. It's always interesting that they may say it, but when they get a job, they do it exactly like we did it. So that could be a little bit of a, I don't know if I'd call it a jab, but, you know, it could be directed at Kirby, Pruitt, maybe even Kiffin.
Don't think it'd be directed at Kiffin.
Well,
Kiffin isn't really running FAU like Alabama.
I just wondered if it might be toward Kiffin because Kiffin would be the one most likely to say it, that Saban was difficult to work for.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's definitely said that, but he hasn't, I don't think, ran and copied his style.
But I don't think Kirby or Pruitt have said... I don't know if they've come out and said it, that he's hard to work for.
Maybe it's gotten through him in back channels.
Maybe. Maybe so.
I don't know. Or maybe he's just saying everyone else says he's hard to work for. But as people left this last offseason, that became more of a narrative, right? About how hard it was to work for Saban, and that's why everyone's leaving.
Yeah.
I'm sure Locksley will try to do it at Maryland like that, too.
That's what Saban said about it. They just try to do it like us. Brian Niedermeyer got a $150,000 raise yesterday after having a hand, as our friend Jesse points out, in Tennessee landing not only Darnell Wright, but Quavaris Crouch, Henry Teotuo, and others. I think we're going to have to figure out how to pronounce his name.
I think we'll just go with Henry T.
I think it's Toa-to-o.
Toa-toa.
I don't think
it's Toa-toa
until he makes a play.
That's what Houston does, and he's like he deep dives into these names.
He doesn't know. The apostrophe is after the first O, so I'm thinking Toa-to-o because then there's the next apostrophe. So Oto in the middle is between the apostrophes. So wouldn't it be Toa-to-o? What did Houston say? Toa-toa?
Toa-toa.
No, it's not Toa-toa. Well, it could be Toa-toa. 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 Toa-toa.
Toa-toa.
Henry T.
Toa-toa.
Henry T.
Anyway, Niedermeyer got a raise.
Shout out to Moose.
$150,000. We always said he was underpaid.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad they gave him a raise. I think they should give him a higher raise. Next year, he better be up into the $600,000 or $700,000 range if he's bringing in another bit, you know, another good class of recruits. He was the best thing on our staff last year, right?
You could say so, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying so. I'm asking you, like, is there anybody else who's even close?
I mean, nobody recruited better.
He was nobody did anything better. Like, year. I mean, did anybody other like? I mean,
well, last year, no.
That's what I mean. I'm not talking about Jim Chaney this year.
Or maybe T. I mean, T might give him a run.
Sure, I'm not talking about that last year. I'm not talking about these guys this year. I'm talking about last year.
There was no one better in the country.
What about that receivers coach we got?
I mean, there was better coordinators and stuff.
Oh yeah, well, I'm saying just like on a recruiting basis.
Oh yeah, I mean, I understand that. I'm just talking about in general. Like, I don't think anybody on our staff was really coaching that well either last year.
Oh,
what about that receivers coach?
What about him?
That we said was
he got moved.
Good. Yeah, he got canned.
He got reassigned to running backs.
He couldn't have been too good.
The easiest position to coach.
I know. I'm just saying. I thought he was good. Our receivers were okay.
Do you think he did better at coaching the receivers than Moose did at recruiting?
No.
So you agree with my take that Moose
just trying
did
to,
something better?
Well, when you ask me something, I'm trying to think through it.
But I'm asking if you actually believe it, or you're just trying to argue with me.
I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm trying to think if maybe there's a different answer.
But you agree that wouldn't be the answer then?
Right. I don't think there is a different answer. But you ask me, so I'm trying to think through it.
I appreciate you playing along.
I'm just trying to find the answer. What? Did you call me?
Nothing.
Sounded like you said something.
I didn't.
Where'd you get that shirt at?
The internet.
eBay?
No, the internet.
Boardman?
Gets paid. Shout out to Kwai. One unnamed GM today said that he's not a good leader.
Why was he unnamed?
He didn't have that on the headline. I guess he didn't want to put his name to it.
That makes sense.
There's a headline for you. Loser GM says winning finals MVP player not a good leader.
What if it was the Toronto GM?
I don't think Usai would say that, although maybe. Or I don't know why I couldn't use that. Musa, you jury, I always combine the two.
Probably Rob Pelinka's jealous ass.
It might be. Rob Pelinka, Kwai, not a good leader. You could tell.
He leads by example. He's not a rah-rah guy.
And I think that's okay, right? I mean, you don't have to be the rah-rah guy.
Right.
He might not be a leader, though. I don't know.
I don't either. I do know that Americans need to cut their beef consumption by about 40% for the world to continue to feed everyone in the next 30 years, according to a new report. We are eating way too much beef. This story should interest you as someone who's interested in the beef industry.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me sad.
Too much beef. We're eating way too much beef. It says Americans.
It's just such an attack on the beef, on the cattle farmers of America. First we let almond milk come, which isn't milk, by the way. It's just water. We let them come and position themselves as milk, which leads to people drinking less cow milk, which helps, you know, run the dairy farmers of America down the drain. And now here we are talking about eat less beef. Whatever happened to the campaign, eat more beef? Beef, it's what's for dinner. What happened to those things? Why are we trying to eat less?
We did. I think we did. I think the campaign worked, and now we're running out of beef.
We're not running out of cows.
That's what it says.
Cows are cheap right now.
It says Americans will need to cut their beef consumption by about 40% and Europeans by 22% for the world to continue to feed everyone in the next 30 years, according to a new report.
Now, we already don't feed everybody. It's fine.
Yeah, like, you know, we're already feeding everyone, like Ben Lee says. Good point by you, Ben Lee.
But it's not fine.
Oh, here we go again.
Like me, this morning, I didn't get fed.
That's your own fault. You should have got a sausage biscuit. I know it's not beef. I know it's pig. They would have probably had those ready, though.
It's expected that by 2050, 10 billion people will live on this planet.
That's too many.
That means each person...
That's too many.
Yeah, that's too much.
We've gone too far. With this life expectancy stuff, too far.
It means each person could have about a burger and a half each week. I guess
we're eating more than one burger a week.
Yeah, how many
typically?
Burgers do you eat a week? I eat one a week, probably. How many hamburgers do you eat a week? Like, just be honest. How many do you eat? Three, four?
Like, what kind of hamburgers?
A burger.
Like a burger.
Well, are we talking like a McDouble, or are we talking a real burger that I
just a burger
at home?
A burger. Just a burger, man.
Any burger.
Just cow.
Well, does a McDouble count as two?
No, it counts as one.
What does a double cutie pie count as?
One.
Well, it's two patties.
Yeah, but it's just one.
They're pretty thin, though.
Those are thin, yeah. I mean, there's just one.
How many burgers do I eat a week? Probably five.
You're the problem.
You're the problem.
I mean, I eat a burger.
Although you're also helping the beef industry, and I appreciate you.
I mean, I probably eat a burger a day. A burger a day keeps the doctor away.
I don't think that's the expression.
Checks out. You haven't been to the doctor lately, so it's the doctor has stayed away.
I mean, I don't eat much besides burgers. Like, I cycle through like five different things a week. I have some Italian, I have burgers, I have fried chicken, I have Asian, and I have usually some fish maybe once a week.
That doesn't add up to five burgers,
maybe
though.
Maybe tacos. Well, you got to count lunch and dinner. I mean, sometimes
you don't really eat lunch. Do you eat lunch?
The other day he pulled up, didn't pull into the parking lot, took a lap, and then came in. And I was like, why did you go around the block? And he was like, I had to finish my burger.
You couldn't sit there and eat it? You had to be driving while eating it?
I don't know. I was just making a lap. Just finishing my burger.
Yeah. So like you don't usually eat lunch? Or do you go eat at 3 and then eat dinner or 2, I guess?
Usually I eat before I come in here. But that's usually breakfast.
Right.
And then
so then you squeeze a lunch in before dinner?
No, I usually eat after the show. Sometimes I don't eat a third time.
Okay.
But I end up eating like at least a burger a day a lot of times.
But what happened to all the fish and the tacos and the Asian?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
I don't always eat five burgers a week, but I'd say on average I probably do.
I try to get at least one burger in a week.
I do about one or two burgers. Like usually if I make them at home, I have two burgers at home.
But what else do you guys eat?
Chicken.
Yeah.
Turkey burgers. Like I eat turkey burgers, but those aren't hamburgers.
Sandwiches.
Do you eat two meals a day or three?
Three.
Two.
Well, if you eat three meals a day, I mean, how do you mix it up to where?
I mean, for breakfast, I don't eat hamburgers.
Well, obviously. I don't do that either.
For breakfast, I don't eat hamburgers. For lunch, I don't eat hamburgers.
Why not?
There's not really any hamburger places around here.
Yeah, there are. They're everywhere.
Not that close to the station. Where?
Yeah, you got
to
drive.
Other than McDonald's.
I mean, you can drive an extra 2 minutes. I mean.
I don't want to go on the strip.
Yeah, not in the 11 o'clock hour. That's why you're always racing against the clock. If you wouldn't have gone to McDonald's today at Pilot, you wouldn't have been A, famished, and B, probably would have gotten your food. Had time to wait.
Well, where else am I going to go?
Anywhere stunned us by being here early.
Yeah, I mean, for dinner we mix it up. And man, it's really one of the big benefits of having a girlfriend. Saying, like, she makes sure that I don't eat hamburgers all the time. We get chicken and rice. I made chicken and rice, beef and broccoli sometimes. I guess that's kind of like hamburgers. I eat that sometimes. Shrimp. Get shrimp every now and then.
That looks good, whatever that is.
Taco Bell caught your eye. All right, let's talk about this casual fan thing next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Yes.
Hit me with it.
A study says from Bloomberg that we are entering the fluid fan era where people switch who they cheer for. Their allegiances, their attention shifts rapidly. In the UK already, almost half of younger fans support more than one soccer team.
That kind of seems like a big deal, right?
Yeah. It's
I think of passionate fan bases, I do think European soccer gets almost like SEC football treatment, right?
I guess,
see that same type of allegiance. I see that same type of atmosphere when I watch European soccer as I do SEC football.
It's got a lot to do with, I would think, the fact that we see all the teams now. You know, kids grow up seeing all the teams. It's not just your local team that you see on TV or that you go to the games for. You're seeing all kinds of teams.
Mm-hmm.
We have 24/7 around-the-clock coverage, and you – get to see all the players from all the different teams and decide who you like.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, you were pretty much only getting to watch your own teams, right?
Yeah.
Like regionally?
If you were going to go to the game locally, yeah. Or even watch on TV. Yeah.
I guess every now and then there was some nationally televised games, but for the most part, you were staying regionally. Well, whereas, like you said, it's pretty digestible to see any team, any player you really want, either live on TV or on the internet through highlight clips, right? If you want to see Neymar go score a bunch of goals, you could type in Neymar YouTube, Neymar Twitter, see his goals.
And it's like how back in the day, the Yankees and the Cubs and the Bears, you know, they built these big fan bases because a lot of times those were the only teams people were getting to watch.
Right. I mean, the Atlanta Braves have a national fan base because of TBS.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have national recognition. Like, the Braves can go play. I mean, they were in San Diego over the weekend, and that place was 30, 40, maybe even 50% Braves fans at times because that's a place, I mean, that's a team, that's a franchise that you can root for and grow up liking. I had a friend move down from Pennsylvania who was both a Braves fan and a Vols fan before he moved here. Had no ties to either. Said, I watched the Braves all the time on TV. I became a Braves fan. Mm-hmm. I liked seeing Tennessee on ESPN. I thought the orange and white checkerboards were cool. I thought orange was cool. I liked that team. So he came down here like in 2005 and was already a fan of Southern teams as his family moved down here because of the national recognition that you talk about.
I think it's a lot of how coverage has changed and how exposure is different, but and it's just it's a new era, you know. And you got to know, I mean, it's a lot easier if the team you did like starts to suck. I mean, who wants to keep watching a team that sucks, you know? Pick a team that's decent. Then you actually have a rooting interest on a team that runs to the championship.
I mean, I think we're talking to somebody who is a pretty good test case for this. You consider yourself a fluid fan, correct? I mean, you haven't had a diehard allegiance to any teams from birth besides Tennessee.
Tennessee is the only team I've had a diehard allegiance to my whole life.
Right.
Yes. So I could, yeah, I'm kind of an example of this, probably switching my
I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I mean, I think it's a different thing that doesn't really line up with what we're taught as sports, but I don't think it's a bad thing.
But I don't really switch based on who's – I'm not just a front runner. Like, I
kind of –
I mean, you kind of are.
None of your teams are bad.
The Cardinals are not great.
You don't really care about the Cardinals.
Well, I don't really care about any of them besides Tennessee. That's why I can be so fluid.
Oh, so you just don't care.
Not really.
It's like, but you don't actually consider yourself a fan, though.
I mean, I'm an NFL fan, but I've never had it. I love the NFL.
Sure,
it's one of my favorite.
You still have a team.
It's my favorite thing to watch.
Are you a real Bears fan?
I like to think I'm becoming one, but I haven't been there for a
while. Are you going to be sad if they're not good this year? Or are you just going to say, yeah, that's fine. Aaron Rodgers, I'm back on there. Really,
I
like the way.
I will not be sad if the Bears are not good.
So will you even be disappointed if they're not good? Or will you find someone that's winning that will make your life better rooting
for
a winner?
I don't just pick a winner. Like, the Bears are the team I'll be rooting for the most. If they don't win, I mean, yeah, I kind of root for someone in every game, though. You know what I mean?
Right, but sometimes that carries over week to week.
It never does for me.
I mean, the Bears thing has. It started like in week one last year and it's carried over.
The Bears are really the only one, though.
Okay.
Like, the Lakers, I do want to see LeBron succeed.
And that's a part of the fluid sports culture, too, is people are more fans of players than teams. Like, in the NBA, it's kind of impossible to stay rooting for a certain team.
Yeah, it would be.
It's hard, like, especially if you grow up loving certain players. Like, as we've talked about, those players move around a lot. If you're a young kid who's like, you know what, I don't live in San Antonio, but I really love Kawhi. Chances are you're no longer a Spurs fan. You probably went to the Raptors with him, and now you're probably with the Clippers.
I think it's a lot easier for people who grow up in rural areas to become fluid fans. But let's say you grow up, though, in the city of D.C. Your family are huge sports fans, and you grow up in Washington your whole life. And you're watching the Capitals, you're watching the Redskins, you're watching the Nationals. Those are just your teams.
Either that or you probably have rooted for the Cowboys to make your parents mad. Or the Eagles to make your parents mad.
Right. But if you're not doing that, if you're rooting for who your parents are rooting for, like you grow up in Dallas, like look at Rick Butler. they grew up. I don't guess he grew. I don't know if he grew up in Dallas, but he's a Mavericks fan. He's a Cowboys fan. I mean, those are his teams. I guess he's a Stars fan if he likes hockey.
He wore a Stars jersey here, but I don't know if he was actually a fan.
So like when
he rocked
you
a jersey.
When you grow up with it in a pro sports area, I think it would be way harder to switch your allegiances. But people that grow up in a rural area that just kind of grow up with college football being the big thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't grow up with any pro sports teams, so I kind of try to pick them as I go along. Like when the Preds went on their run, I'm not going to claim to be a real Preds fan, but everybody else was rooting for them, so I was kind of like, yeah, sure, I'll jump on.
When's the last time you rooted for a bad team not named Tennessee?
Rooted for a bad team?
Yeah, not named Tennessee.
I don't know. I root for bad teams when they play good teams.
Yeah, but I mean, you
in just, general.
Yeah, but you throw them away.
I mean, I'll root for the underdog in a general game.
Right, but you're not caring the next week if they're playing somebody
else. Rooted for the Titans before because my friends were, and they've been bad.
When did you root for the Titans? Last year?
A couple times. No,
last couple years when they've been like on the cusp of the playoffs or whenever they were 2-14 getting the number one pick?
I never really rooted for anyone besides Tennessee.
Are we about
Tennessee.
To have a breakthrough that you actually are a bandwagon
I'm band, not a front runner? You're not going to call me a front runner. I'm not
well,
a front runner.
I'm asking when the last time you rooted for
I've,
a bad team
I've
is.
I've been a Tennessee Volunteer fan my entire life.
You have.
You can't call me a front runner.
You have
runner.
An actual tie here. I'm not.
But I've never actively really cared about any other team.
Okay. So you just don't consider yourself a fan of other teams?
Not a real fan, no.
Okay.
Like if you put me up against a real Bears fan, I'm not a real fan.
I mean, I understand that.
You know what I mean? But I kind of am rooting for them. Can I not just root for teams without being a fan?
Yeah, no, you 100% can.
I like just watching the NFL games and enjoying the games. Sometimes I don't even have a rooting interest.
Understandable.
I just like watching
it. It's okay to get wrapped up in a storyline during the game. Like, I'm not arguing
about
that.
You're trying to say, though, that I only root for winners. That's not true. I like watching winners.
I mean, when we made your list, you didn't really have any losers on there.
Well, here's the thing. I would rather watch winners than losers. Like, I would rather watch the Patriots play the Chiefs than watch the Bills play the, you know.
I mean, obviously.
Whoever.
If you're telling me you're not really a Bears fan, of course, and the Bears are good, you're not going to want to watch them. You'll throw them to the side.
I think
but now they're near the top of the NFL where they have a chance to win. You're a Bears fan.
They weren't at the top of the NFL when I joined in.
They were very excited.
They were
last
progressing.
Year.
It was before the season, though. Nobody knew they were going to be that good last year. They were progressing. Their defense was getting better, and I hopped on. I did not hop on when the Bears were good.
Okay.
And the Bears are the one team that I think I can maybe follow through it all.
Okay. I'm hoping you find a team. Like, I'm not trying to.
You're trying to call me a front runner.
I mean, you kind of
what you're
are.
Trying to do.
I mean, you are.
No, I'm
you're
not.
You're just afraid to admit it. You root for LeBron James. That's the best front running guy.
Because I like
in
watching
NBA.
Him play.
That's fun.
I don't care if he doesn't win the championship. If I was a front runner, I'd be a Warriors fan.
I mean, you were a Raptors fan last year.
No, I mean, I liked watching Kawhi play. I think he's a great defender. I think he's a great champion.
I know.
If I was a front runner, would I not have been a Warriors fan for the last 4 years? I hate the Warriors. You can't call me a front runner. I'm not
a
front runner.
You're the second best team.
Who's the best baseball team?
The Dodgers, the team you're rooting for the last couple of years.
They're not the best. They didn't win. When I was rooting for them, they didn't win the World Series.
They made the World Series. They were second best. Second best team. Okay, second best team.
Who won it in hockey this year? The Blues. When have I been a Blues fan?
Talked so much about how much you love their story. I don't
know. I thought it was a good historic run, but I mean,
just wanted to appreciate the run, I guess.
I mean, Kyle Busch, is he the best NASCAR driver? He's a favorite every week. I hate the guy. You can't call me a front runner. I'm not a front runner. Anybody who's a Tennessee Volunteer fan is not a front runner. I think that should be obvious.
The fluid fan. That's the era we're in right now when it comes to sports. I thought that study was pretty interesting. And like I said, I do think European soccer is a pretty close, I guess, comparison to American sports, right? Especially like the diehard culture of SEC football and your NFL diehards.
Can you tell me how much the value is of the global sports market?
I don't even know what that means. What do you mean? It's like all the teams put together? Like what?
Yeah, the value of the global sports market.
I mean, you have certain teams worth billions. So, I mean, if I was guessing, you add up. I mean, the Cowboys are worth like eight by themselves, right? Five, six, seven, eight.
Mm-hmm.
I know those soccer teams are worth that much. 450, 500
billion? 500
billion. Hmm. Ben, what are your this or that topics?
I read the article.
We've got... Sorry, I had to pull it up.
No worries.
Live mascot versus the costume.
Live mascot versus the costume, okay.
Dolly or Reba.
Ooh, Dolly or Reba.
Home opener or first night game.
Home opener or first night game. Okay. All right. Thank you, Ben Lee. We'll play this or that next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports. For the area's lead. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. 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 This.
All right, it's time for the best debate segment in Tennessee from 12 to 3. It's time for this or that. Let's kick things off with live mascot or costume.
The live mascot is a lot cooler to me because a lot of times you have a real animal or a real person that gets to interact with people. You know, you got Tennessee, of course, you got the Davy Crockett guy out there with his coonskin hat and his gun and... You know, West Virginia's got a guy like that. We got Smokey, who's an actual dog. Everybody loves dogs. Dogs are great. So we got Smokey. A&M's got a dog. Georgia's got Ugga. Everybody likes dogs. Let's see, what else? You got Ralphie, the bull. You got Bevo, the big cow. You got Mike, the tiger. I mean, live mascots are just really cool to have an animal on the field like that that people can look at and the other team can be intimidated by. It's just it goes with the tradition of college football. It mends well with tradition, whereas a costume is just a costume. It's just some guy in a furry outfit.
Like seeing Ugga sit there sweating and panting and having trouble breathing?
He's got an air conditioner.
Do you like seeing him struggle to breathe?
He's not struggling. He's fine. He's
what about when Mike the Tiger got cancer? Did you like that?
No. What that?
I'm just asking. The problem with a lot of mascots
I'm sure somebody who's won a costume before has gotten cancer.
But you don't know those people.
Well, no, you don't know them.
You can just easily put somebody else in the costume and you'll never know. That's the thing.
Well, you can easily just get a new dog. You know how many Smokies we've had?
Yeah,
we've had
like it's four. Sad every time one of them does.
It's sad, but you get over it and you get the next one.
No. You have to have...
Dogs are great.
The live costume, the animals
everybody
look sad.
Dies.
Whenever I see Mike the Tiger in his cage, do you not just get sad? I get really sad when I see Mike the Tiger there. When I see Ugga there panting and sweating and knowing all the hoops they've had to jump through just to get his big inbred ass to the game, I'm like, man, this is really immoral.
You wanted him to die. You wanted him to be stuck with a horn.
Go back to the point of why I wanted him to die, Cody. Go ahead. Why did I want him to die? I wanted him to feel the sweet release of death. That's what I wanted. I wanted him to no longer be trotted out there as a prop.
Well, don't sit here and act like you feel bad for the live animals when you advocated for the death on national television.
Wanted Ugga to die so that he could be released from the misery of his life of being a live mascot. You're 100% correct.
Then let's not pretend you're advocating for the well-being of the animals.
I'm doubling down. Sometimes death, as we talked about with the horse, is relief. Sometimes
death
it's better
is
for
never
the quality
good.
Of life.
Death is not good. It's always better to be alive than it is dead.
That's not correct at all.
Yes, it is.
Merciful deaths all the time.
Not with Ugga. He's got an air conditioner and a big bowl of food and water. He's living a good life. He's smiling all the time.
He's smiling. I've never seen that dog smile.
Yes, you have.
I've never seen that dog do anything other than panting.
English bulldogs.
The costume mascot can go meet the kids easily. You don't have to worry about them biting you. You can take pictures. They can do flips and tricks. They can change outfits. The costume is the perfect mascot.
But think about what's great about college football, the tradition, the entrances. Smokey running out first in front of the when the tee opens and Smokey runs out. When Bevo charges out on the field at Colorado. When the horse at USC and at Florida State, for the matter. The horse that they ride out on, the big white horse. I mean, it's just – it's cool to have an animal there in the stadium. The eagle at Auburn. I mean, the war eagle, you know, that soars over at Auburn and then
really
comes
stupid.
Back.
They're not, I don't know why they get to have two mascots.
I mean, it's kind of weird that they have an eagle and not a tiger, but it's beside the point. It's part of the tradition of college football. Whereas, again, a guy in a costume, cool. You can see that anywhere. You can go down to, I mean, you can buy that at the party zone, at the party store, party
city. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
go
sure.
Buy you a costume.
I'm sure Disney World would be a lot better place if they ran out just live rats instead of the costume.
Oh, are we talking
mascots.
About Disney World here, or are we talking
all we're talking about
are
is talking live about... mascots versus costumes. We're not talking about college football. We're talking about just in general.
Oh, really? Because I think it was live mascot. When I hear live mascot, I'm pretty sure we're talking about football.
No, I'm thinking of you could have rats at Disney World to represent Mickey and Minnie. Would that be more fun than just having the people in the costume?
This whole argument
we've
been talking about.
Donald Duck.
I mean, you can gerrymander if you want.
It's not gerrymandering.
It's not gerrymandering.
This whole argument
all
we've been talking about college football.
This is not gerrymandering. All
really?
Out.
Where did this topic
that
originate
is a mas-
from?
That is
did
a mascot.
Did anybody?
It's a mascot.
Did it originate
from Disney?
It's
a mascot and it's a costume.
This is not. It's not about Disney.
It's about all mascots.
We're not talking about
Disney.
You
can't pet Mike the Tiger. You can take a picture with the Tiger mascot, though. He can go out on the. He can go out on the road. You can't take Mike the Tiger to on their Tiger caravan
okay.
or whatever.
Okay,
it
if
is.
You want to gerrymander, we'll gerrymander.
It's not gerrymandering at all.
Would you rather have someone dressed up as Frank in the house with you all the time instead of having the actual dog?
Come talk to me whenever Frank does. When Frank dies, I might change my tune and
you
say,
want,
you know what?
What if,
nice
I just
have
what if I
someone
just...
dressed up as a miniature dachshund that I could pet? And
you want me to just dress up as a wiener dog and just sit by you on the couch and you can just stroke me whenever you
yes.
want? Just good boy.
Yes,
kind of.
Kind of I do.
Is that what you
Will
want?
Will you come do that for me?
Instead of having the actual dog?
Will you come do that for me?
Cody, this is gerrymandering. I got
that's gerrymandering.
Oh, so that's class. Gerrymandering, but Disney World's not.
Having,
okay.
Having a
okay.
pet versus a mascot in
okay.
costume.
Okay. Go ahead, Ben. Bend me over.
Graphic. I don't know why you're trying to get
go ahead.
Sexual here.
I'm ready for it.
I got to get the point to the costume mascot. It's better.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, you can have one at every team. I mean, there's no elephant at Alabama.
It's just inhumane, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's just better to have a person that you can regulate how they're
just
feeling versus
scholarship and put
nobody
in
ever
the
thinks
the
about how hot those poor college
they
kids get.
They give them a cool towel and a scholarship.
You never hear all the tragic stories of the heat strokes and the college kids that die because
no,
they hyperventilate in there?
Next up.
When I think of mascots, I think of the guy who wore the St. Joe's owl head getting in a fight with someone, and he got his head knocked off, and he still had to keep flapping.
How about
that's
all,
the rule. You
just
got to keep
flapping.
What about all the kids that were terrorized when the New Jersey Devils mascot ran through the window pane at their birthday party over the weekend? Those kids
don't think
it
would have been worse if a real devil would have came and done that?
We need to move on. Next up, Dolly or Reba?
Come on. Is this even a contest here? Dolly. Dolly. She's from Tennessee, from the South. We are in East Tennessee. Think about all the kids Dolly has helped with her reading program. She is a queen. She's a queen. There's no competition when it comes to Reba. I gotta like Reba, don't get me wrong, but would you rather have Dollywood or Reba's dumbass TV show? A single mom who works two jobs? That's not as good as Hard Candy Christmas. That's not as good as 9 to 5. The theme song to Reba is basically just ripping off 9 to 5 about having to work. Come on. Dolly's a queen. Even arguing this, Cody, should make you feel dirty. Do the right thing and just punt. Just take a knee and then punt.
Reba McEntire has the most wins for the Academy of Country Music's Top Female Vocalist Awards with 7. Of all female country artists that have ever existed, Reba's number one with 7. Reba holds the record at the AMAs for favorite country music artist with 12 nominations. She is the only female vocalist of the year award winner to do so 4 times from the CMAs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. While you're reading
Reba McEntire has led. Reba
while
McEntire
you're reading
has
those stats, can you tell me how many times she's been nominated for a Grammy? Can you do that for me while you're doing that?
I'm sure I could find it.
I got I'm the sure number for you, Ben. Since we're going to talk out stats, Reba McEntire has been nominated for 15 Grammys. 15, pretty solid number. Any interest on how many Dolly's been nominated for?
No.
47. So more than 3 times as many.
Reba is a rare artist who has achieved solo number ones across 4 decades. She's had a number one in 4 decades, Ben, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s. What has Dolly done in the last 30, 40 years?
I don't know. Helped a lot of kids read. Tried to rebuild an area giving them checks.
She's also
to help offset the cost that a fire ravaged their homes and their
property. She's also partly responsible for Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus is a pretty important part of pop culture.
Is she?
I think so.
Is she?
The climb still bangs.
Reba
has won belt out.
How many female vocalist awards has Dolly won? Because I've counted one and I got 7 for Reba.
Can you?
I've counted 1 versus 7.
Can you name me a song that is more important culturally than "I Will Always Love You"? Just name that. Name one Reba song that means more than "I Will Always Love You."
We're at East Tennessee.
If you can do that, I will yield the point.
That's Whitney Houston.
No, it was Dolly.
That's why that song is what it is.
Who wrote the song?
Dolly, but it doesn't matter.
Who wrote it?
It's a Whitney Houston song. You know damn well it's Whitney Houston's
song. Whitney Houston did a great job of it, but the song doesn't exist without Reba. Name one Reba McEntire song that even comes close to "I Will Always Love You."
Do you think?
Because I still got Jolene waiting in the clip.
Do you think a lot
I'll
about
the clip on you?
Do you
nine
think
five,
a lot about Bob Dylan's "All Along the Watchtower"? Who do you think about with "All Along the Watchtower"? Bob Dylan, or do you think about Jimi Hendrix? Because Bob Dylan wrote it.
I don't feel like that has anything to do with this.
I'm just saying it's not always the person that wrote it. It's the person that makes it great.
I mean, it's fine, but Dolly's version of "I Will Always Love You" is still great. Name one Reba song that's better.
Fancy.
Not better.
You could.
Not
you,
close.
I think it's.
No.
I think it could
be. They're
going to
be singing Fancy 30 years from now? Really?
Are we going to be singing "I Will Always Love You"?
Yes, we will. That is
in
a
30 years?
That is a timeless song.
The night the lights went out in Georgia. I mean, what all does Dolly have? I mean, outside of Jolene and
outside of two of the best country songs of all time, Jolene.
Really? Jolene's going to be one of the best country songs of all time?
1,000%
really?
It is. Yes, correct.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not even close. Find that on a list for me.
I guarantee it's ranked higher than the night that the lights went out in Georgia.
Reba's got a deeper catalog, and it's why she won Female Vocalist of the Year 7 times. Dolly's won it 1 time. Reba's the only person to do it in 4 decades. She's the only person to do it 4 years in a row as well in the 90s. Dolly never did it. I got nothing against Dolly. 40, I know we're in East Tennessee, and I know people are going to be. I know people are going to be biased.
47 Grammy nominations compared to 15. A timeless song that will live on
because
forever.
Because of one song. Yeah.
A timeless song that will live on forever. An empire. An empire that she has crafted from being a poor woman born just up the road, Bentley. Dolly Parton has became a powerhouse that will live on. Dollywood will stand.
I would contend that people in other parts of the country know her mainly for her breasts.
You think anybody knows Reba in other parts of the country? That don't like country music?
Yeah, they do, because she's been more of a staple in it in the last 30 years.
That don't like country music. What is Dolly? What would you know Reba from? Her show on CMT?
Aren't we talking about who's the better country music artist here?
No, it just was Reba versus Dolly. I mean, I think you have to take everything into account.
I mean, Dolly.
And again, if we're talking
music,
47 nominations versus 15, and no song that can touch "I Will Always Love You" or Jolene.
That's not true. That's just your opinion that you're spouting. And "I Will Always Love You" is Whitney Houston.
How many number ones? All right, tell me how many number ones.
How many people across the country know Dolly's? How many people across the country know "I Will Always Love You" for being Dolly? It's Whitney Houston's song. I don't care if she wrote it. It's a Whitney Houston song.
You don't care that she wrote it?
It's Whitney Houston's
song. You don't care that she wrote it? How many number ones does Reba have?
How many does Dolly have?
You tell me first.
You tell me.
I have my numbers here. You didn't do your research?
Reba's got a lot.
A lot?
She's got 32. Reba's garnered 32 number one singles, and she holds the record for that. How many has Dolly got?
Where does it say that at?
I'm looking at it right here on Wikipedia, which is something that we use pretty often.
Because I'm looking at it on Wikipedia, too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, what's your number? Because I'm looking at 32 for Reba. Dolly not quite close to that?
Where are you seeing 32 number one singles? I'm looking right here at it.
Sitting here reading it.
Where at?
On my computer. Where are you looking at it?
I have number one typed in. It doesn't say that.
You must not be looking at the same thing I'm looking at.
doesn't say it at all.
Yeah, it does. I'm sitting here looking at it.
Cody, if you're bringing to the table false facts, I'm going to have to...
What makes you think my fact is false and you don't ask if his fact is false? Huh? Why do you assume I'm the one with the false fact? Why are you assuming that?
Because you're down.
What if his fact is false? No, it's not because I'm down. It's because you're a biased damn judge and I'm done playing this game.
I'm never playing
this stupid ass game again.
That's kind of mean of you to assume that, Ben.
I'm done. I'm telling you, I'm never playing this game again.
Gotta give
kind of moon. That's kind of.
I was going to give the point to Reba at this point. Like earlier, I mean.
I don't care who you give the point to.
What I was reading said that Reba had 42 number one singles. I couldn't figure out where he got 32 from.
In her 35-year career, Reba McEntire has guarded 32 number one singles. She now holds the record for the most number one singles by a female damn country artist.
What I'm reading says McEntire has acquired
well,
42
I'm reading,
number
Ben,
one
singles. How about this? I'm going to take my computer to Ben, and I'm going to let him read the sentence. It's in the last paragraph right there, Ben. I want you to read that first sentence for me. Please, turn the microphone on. Read the sentence.
My microphone
Since
is on.
You think I'm lying.
In her 35-year career, McEntire has garnered 32 number one singles. She now holds the record for most number one singles by a female country artist. In addition, McEntire holds the record for most top 10 hits by a female country artist, surpassing Dolly Parton's record in 2009 with her 56th top 10 hit.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
Cowgirls Don't Cry.
Thank you, Ben. We all trust Wikipedia.
Which, by the way...
Ben just read the fact.
Real cheap way I've heard to break that record with Cowgirls Don't Cry. She hopped on at the very end after Brooks and Dunn already had that in the top, and she's like, I'm going to add this last little chorus
Her there. Doing that is nothing different than Dolly Parton collecting royalties from Whitney Houston making I Will Always Love You Famous.
Yes, it is a lot different.
Not really. It's really not.
Accolades and
it's
records.
Really not.
Shame that you had to forfeit the point, 2-0 win. Happy to have last call on the other side. Just for the record, like, according to Billboard.com, Dolly has 25 number one hits to Reba's number one. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't know what Wikipedia says, but Billboard says 54 top 10 hits from Dolly. 2 for Reba.
What?
That's what Billboard.com says.
You're saying, what did you
chart
say?
History.
You said she had 25 number ones?
According to...
Well, Reba's got 32.
Not according to Billboard. They have one.
It's not all about Billboard.
I mean, Billboard's the one you go with.
Billboard
I go by
is
total
the standard.
Number ones.
Billboard's the standard.
It's total number ones.
I go by Billboard.com, not
Wikipedia. How the hell is Reba going to have the most...
I'm just telling you what Billboard.com says. Maybe they don't judge the country charts by themselves. Maybe Reba just dominates the country charts and didn't have any crossover hits. I'm just telling you what it says. Dolly has 25 number one hits. Reba has one, according to Billboard.com.
That's just not accurate.
Billboard is the standard. I mean, we know that Lil Nas X got Billy Ray on there for Billboard.
Just talking about just Billboard. Two top 10 hits versus 54, number one, 25.
I'm not
versus
playing
one.
This game again.
I just
want y'all to know that. And I mean it. I've said it before. I'm not playing again. I'm done with it.
Okay. We'll let Cam and Ben play next week, and I'll judge.
All right.
We'll let listeners play.
I'm done.
Good.
A guy can only get screwed so many times.
If I were you.
A guy can only be screwed so many times.
Come out here and talk about 54 number one hits.
I didn't say 54.
45.
32.
32. Whatever the hell you were saying.
Ben read
one,
the sentence. He,
one.
He read the sentence.
One.
He read the sentence.
One.
You donated to the site that he read the sentence from.
Well, if Billboard asked for money, I would give them a dollar right now. If they're asking for money. Turns out they're self-sustaining. They don't need donations.
Okay.
Last call is brought to you by Volunteer Vodka. We love Volunteer Vodka. Drink Volunteer Vodka. Bristol, Tennessee. Much like Dolly, East Tennessee, treasure. Not some Oklahoma transplant.
Let's make it clear that you got to pick Dolly.
No.
On the picks. Let's make that clear because Ben has falsely told everyone in the audience that I always get to pick first. I get
you
to
pick
make
the first
all,
two and you
I
looked
get to
and
pick
said,
all my picks.
And you basically, you tried to push it off on me and said, you take Dolly since I picked the other two.
because I'm a fair player. And some weeks you take two and I take one.
That there's never been a time
yes,
where I take
there
two.
Yes, there has. There absolutely has.
Absolutely
there
not.
There absolutely has. It's like every other week. Sometimes you take two, sometimes I take two.
Never
in my
two.
Life have I taken all three.
Never in my life have I even taken two.
If we're going to let them look true. Behind the curtain, I think it always goes to break and, okay, which ones do you want, Cody?
That's exactly
and a lot of times I'll take one I feel strongly about, and then on another one I'll say, I don't care, you take what you want. That's what happens every week. There's a lot of times you get two. Not necessarily because you say, I want these two, but because I say, I don't care on one. Ben likes to make everybody think that I get my pick of the three.
If both of us are saying we don't care on one of them, it's not me taking it and getting the one I want. Let's just clarify that.
It's also not me taking all. It's not me grabbing the ones I want.
I didn't say that.
That's what Ben tells everyone.
Well, I'm just telling you, I never said that.
I said that John gives you first dibs, which he does.
That is correct. That is correct.
Well, we sit here and we're. I mean, we go to the break and he's like, "All right, what do you want?"
Right, you can pick all the ones you want.
Yeah.
Well, I could very easily say the same thing. All right, what do you want? You know, sometimes it takes 2 or 3 minutes and we have to hurry.
I understand that. I mean, but every first time you get first dibs.
I usually only take one I feel strongly
about.
Which
is verbatim what I said. I said John gives Cody first dibs.
That's not what you like to act like.
I know what you're doing.
I get all three.
You don't have to take out the.
I'm done with Ben.
You don't have to take out the bacon, egg, and cheese on Ben, okay? Ben wasn't.
Dude,
Ben wasn't the one who didn't get you.
Bacon, cheese, and egg. Let's put it in alphabetical order, okay?
And bacon, cheese, egg.
Ben didn't do that to you. Last call. Do you have a story?
El Chapo.
Stop. Just stop. Just go.
He has life in prison plus 30 years.
Oh, my God. The music's playing.
Seems a little early for the music, doesn't it?
55-50.
Okay. I guess it's 56 now.
El Chapo's in prison for 30 years plus life.
Until he escapes again.
Wonder if he'll get out again.
I mean, he's gonna eventually get out, right? Like, someone's going to help him, right?
I would think so.
Like, Cam says Bovada's released odds on if he'll get broken out again.
Do we know what the odds are? I feel like they're probably going to put the yes at like minus 500. That way the no's the likely. Because, I mean, you're never going to be able to collect on the no until he dies. Like, oh, just in 1 year? Okay. Okay, so the no should be the favorite there. If it's just like in general, like, is he getting out? Like, you'd have to wait until he died to collect your money.
Congratulations to Vol.